Hello, my friend, and welcome to this episode of A Call to Leadership. I'm Dr. Nate Sahl, your host, and I am so glad you are here. Well, as we finish out this third installment of a three-part series on wealth building, financial wellness, we're going to finish strong with this last episode on how it becomes real. How do we literally create wealth from nothing? Well, it starts, my friend, with a vision. It starts with clarity of your goals. It's sad, the rate of people who actually have clarity, knowing what they want to achieve in their financial future. In fact, according to a report by the National Bureau of Economic Research, only one-third of Americans have developed a retirement savings plan. They don't have a clear vision. A study conducted by Northwestern Mutual found that only 21% of Americans have savings at all. 33% have a limited amount of savings. And it gets even worse. A survey by Bankrate revealed that only about 36% of Americans are saving for their long-term goals, such as retirement or education expenses. And it's not just us. It's how we are educating the next generation. We think about, oh, well, even if I have savings, even if I have retirement, do I just want to give it to my kids? Because they're supposed to, right? Make an inheritance, leave money. That's a good thing. Maybe not. Maybe that's not the only thing. In fact, sometimes, oftentimes, we find that if we simply give our children an inheritance with no education on how to steward and shepherd that in the same ways we did, we are inviting our family members, our children, our offspring, those who we are desiring to see the best for their lives, we're setting them up not only for failure, but perhaps even worse. We may be setting them up to be in complete misery because of high expectations of what's going to happen with these funds with no real ability to manage it. And so when we're talking about our vision for the future, man, it's so important. I'm speaking right now to you. If you're a person who says, Nate, I have gotten it all together. I have been putting myself in a position to where my heirs will have what they need. I've been a good steward. Okay. What do they need most? They need education most. They need literacy most. And if you haven't listened to that episode, go back two episodes in this series, because the one most important thing that they will not ever be able to squander, if you will, is the quality of their mind, the knowledge they have, because they can always build on it. You give me the difference between $1 million in cash or a mind that can make multi-million dollars, I'm going to take the mind every single time. Yet, do we instruct and teach the next generation and educate them in these ways? Our educational system is woefully inadequate, woefully inefficient, as Elon Musk said, because we don't teach these basic skills for survival in the world. And that's okay. You know what? Let's not put it on education. Let's not put it on the school system. That's something that should be done in the school system. Of course, I would have traded algebra or calculus any day for financial management. I was squandering all my money because I had a poverty mindset, because my mom didn't teach me how to manage money because she didn't know how. My dad didn't teach me how to manage money. He eked on a very meager living. And so I had to go to a different school. I had to go to the school of hard knocks. And that was the school that taught me that, hey, you know what? You're not going to make it unless you get smart. And I had to figure it out on my own. Some of us have that ability where we can then teach others. My son, when he was younger, I told him, son, I'm not going to give you money. I'm going to give you an education. In fact, the education I'm going to give you, I'm going to give it to you every single day. I'm going to teach you how to manage what you have. I'm going to teach you how to invest what you have. And then I'm going to teach you how to be a good steward of what you're entrusted with. I even told him I wasn't going to pay for his college. You say, Nate, don't you teach college? Yeah, but it's not for everyone. And I didn't want my son thinking that, well, dad's just paying for it anyway, so I'm just going to get the free ride for 4 years or however long and just roll with it like that. No, he's going to have to earn it. We just had this conversation recently, 16 years old, getting ready to turn 17, talking about that. It's like, Dad, education is so expensive. Higher education is so expensive. Like, hey, let's talk through it. You know, what can you do? Can you get scholarships? Are there free programs? Are there ways to work around it? And do you need that? Do you even need the college education? Say, Nate, didn't you earn a PhD? Don't you think your kids should do that? No, it's not carte blanche is what you do. Your kids need to do. That's some of the worst advice. Now, I'm talking about when it comes to the type of education. The type of education is going to be based on their needs, based on their skills, based on their own giftings. As parents have to set them up for success in those areas so that they can thrive. So let's not imbue our own perspective of what we think they should do based on what we did. And it doesn't have to be education. Maybe you excelled at sports. Maybe your kid's not a sports kid. I did sports all my life. And you know what? I wasn't expecting that of my kid. I'm expecting my kid to do what my kid is going to do best, and I'm going to encourage them. And by the way, friend, when we say we're proud of our kids for making wise choices or doing good things, let's not just say we're proud of them for the outcome they make. Let's say we're proud of them for the effort they give. Because if it's only about the shiny object, then that's going to be where they derive their worth. If it's only about that thing, that trophy, that goal, if it's only about that fill in the blank, then every time that they don't get that satisfaction of that end result, they are going to be completely deflated and defeated. No, I say, yeah, that's fantastic. But the goal is give your very best. Did you do that? Okay. Then the outcome is the outcome. And in that sense, then we are going to be satisfied because we gave our very best. Sometimes you can't control certain aspects of the outcomes. I know in business and in life, sometimes things don't always go the way we expect. We can beat ourselves up all day long. For some, during this pandemic, they put the same effort in. Many people got different outcomes. And I'm talking about in the business world. Some people had a restaurant and they put all the effort in and their businesses still failed. Others, their businesses thrived. You say, Nate, well, shouldn't they have done more homework? Maybe, maybe not. Maybe there's certain situations that are beyond our control. And so did I give my best? Yes. Okay, now I'm going to move on and find another way to win. And so when we're talking about education and the values and the goals, we're talking about setting the pathway. Set the pathway for the vision of the future. Start with that. When we are planning for the future, where is it? What is your vision for where you want to achieve? Because your vision will limit how far you go. If you say, I want to have $1 million in my retirement. Okay. Let's also walk through that of what that $1 million is going to do for you. Because if you think it's going to solve all your problems, it won't. It'll solve some problems, but it won't solve all your problems. Identify what's most important. I have a student of mine in my program who had found a change in the season of life. Worked really hard for a long time and was comfortable in life after that working hard. And then was able to take a break from that particular type of work. And the next step was, what am I going to do next? Should I go out and should I try to make $1 million a year? Well, found out that I don't know if that's my highest and best use. Maybe my highest, best, and best use is investing and reinvesting in those I care about because financially I'm okay, and made that shift. And through that shift found massive, and I mean massive, life value. And so it's not always about the dollar signs. Let me tell you, friend, dollar signs are important because they are fuel to fund certain aspects of your life, but they are not the only vertical and vehicle to success in your life. In fact, once money's off the table, there's a lot of other things that are important. And so where money can buy you certain things, it can buy you freedom, it can buy you time. What are you going to do with that freedom? What are you going to do with that time? What are you going to do to develop your purpose, your meaning, your value? You have to have a vision beyond the money. Then what? You've got to open your mind and begin to do that. So as we begin to walk through this, I want you to think about your future, not just the future you have for yourself, but the future that you're going to leave for your heirs, for people who you care about, whether they be individuals who you'll be leaving your fortunes to, whether they be charities, organizations, whatever that might look like. Think beyond today. In fact, this is an exercise that I do with most of the folks in my Advanced Tax Strategies and Business Planning program. We go through what we call our family assurance planning. And that family assurance planning is God forbid, at some point, if something happens where I'm incapacitated or I'm out of the mix or even worse, I'm gone. What are the steps and what are the ways that I'm going to have an assurance that there's a continuity in my vision for my family? And of course, the very first thing is, what is my vision? You have to get your vision right. You have to get it clear. Clarity is power. If you haven't gone through the vision exercise, listen to the episodes on vision in my show. We'll put the episode numbers on the vision series in the show notes for you. And so once that vision is clear, then the next step is, what is the plan? How do I then form and execute a plan for the future? You know, we're spending so much time working, saving, making money, vacations, school, soccer, basketball, recitals, all these things. Those are important, but those are about now. Those are for today. What happens tomorrow and in the future in the next 10 years, 20 years? How about for my children's children? You and I have an amazing opportunity to speak life into the future based on our hopes and dreams for the future. And I've talked about this in the past. I've talked about this on different episodes. And I always go back to different speeches of those greats in leadership. I reference Martin Luther King Jr. many times and others, because their stories that they tell about the future is a story that has not yet become. It is a vision of a better state that they desire to see, and those stories resonate with us. And we hold on to those as a part of a legacy. Some people make the argument and say, oh, legacies fade over time and forget about legacies. I disagree. If the legacy is compelling enough, if the legacy is attractive enough, if the legacy is worthwhile enough, and if in the distant future, even the distant future, if it is achievable, it is a worthy cause. It is a legacy worth fighting for. It is a legacy worth living for. And so in your journey, in your mind, what does that look like? Begin to pen an author how you desire your future's future to look like beyond your own future financially. What ways do you believe that you can impact others financially by simply speaking out what's possible? You have to define those financial goals clearly. You have to define them using the short term, medium term, long term objectives. Make them SMART. You've heard this before. Specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound. So for me, when I'm talking about the goals of the future financially, I have a very specific set of goals for my child and my child's children. I make them measurable, and I don't want them to be too far of a stretch. I want to make sure that they can reach those goals, that they're important. The relevance means that they're important and that they are in a time sequence. When I wrote my will, I would encourage all of you to write your will and trusts. I was very clear on these goals. And those goals with my spouse, of course, are comprehensive. Take the time to develop that comprehensive plan financially and life that outlines how not only you, but others beyond you will achieve each goal. Step one, step two, step three, consider factors like budgeting, savings, investing, risk management, all kinds of strategies. Who is going to be a part of this plan? I listed individuals as part of this plan who I believe would help shepherd and steward my son, my wife, if I'm gone, and so on and so forth, the generation and generations to come. You say, Nate, how could you possibly know who in generations and generations to come? You may not know individual names, but you can identify a specific set of patterns and behaviors that you would desire those individuals to be a part of this journey. And then take time to review it, to let it simmer. You can adjust it. Circumstances change, new opportunities arise, but you have to revisit those goals periodically and ensure that they remain aligned with what your long-term vision, your values, your aspirations, all of that. And make sure to eliminate any distractions that knock on your door as opportunities. I love how Michael Hyatt puts it, right? That distractions come knocking on your door, masquerading as opportunities. And the only way to know the difference is to measure it against your vision. I've had so many distractions in my life that have masqueraded as opportunities. And I found myself continually just circling the wagon, not able to really identify where I need to go, what I need to do, and how I need to get there. And it was a quote by Warren Buffett that I really landed on in terms of helping me to do this because I was saying yes too much. He says, the difference between successful people and really successful people is that really successful people say no to almost everything. Is that you? It's tough, right? I mean, think about it. Like, how often am I saying no? That's not easy for me to do. But I found that it's freeing. It's liberating. And you've heard me talk about this on the show before. If you've listened, this is a practice we must do, is to start to say no. And that no will free us from things that will keep us from saying yes to what we must do. Taking the time, devoting the time, to being financially literate, to being financially wise, to setting a financial future and a goal for our family members. So even if you've arrived and you've got your savings and you've got your finances in order, it's not enough. It's so important to plan and impart financial wisdom to children, to the next generation. If you don't have any children, even better sometimes, you'll have time to go out and share with others and charities and big brothers and big sisters. So many different opportunities to share. So step one, I'm going to encourage you to start early. It's never too early to start teaching the next generation financial concepts, habits from an early age. Introduce the importance of savings, of budgeting, and how to distinguish between needs and wants. And by the way, so important for us, not just to teach it, but to lead it by example, because they're watching. They're looking at us and seeing, do we talk the talk? Do we walk the walk? Even more importantly. So in our own lives, are we distinguishing between needs and wants? Are we showing that, boy, you know what? I know my needs are finite, but my wants are infinite or unlimited. And I am going to practice discernment and not just go after all those shiny objects and not to have true impulse control. We have to be a role model. We have to practice responsible financial behaviors ourselves, because children learn best by observing and emulating who? Us, our actions. So demonstrate that good and effective financial habit formation in our own lives. For me, I do have some nice stuff. Yes, but the majority, and I shouldn't say but, however, my son and my nieces and nephews know that I have control. I liked it because I didn't always have control over my impulses. I had a very wayward youth, and I was buying things that was far beyond my means. Now, whenever I buy something, it's well within my means. I mean, not even close to my means. And I'm still looking for the best deal, by the way. And I still wait, and I share that. And so I think it's so important to emulate that. Do I always get it right? Not always, but most of the time today, I do. And so they're watching. They're watching to see if we're hypocrites. They're watching to see if we are authentic and have integrity and genuine, because they're not going to listen to us unless we are, unless they observe that. And that's our second step, to teach them. Once we've observed, once we've begun to model that, teach the practical skills, expose them to real life situations. It's so important to help children practice financial skills like budgeting, like setting financial goals, like tracking expenses, and encouraging them to allocate more money for different expenses like savings, like charity, like spending. So, so critical. We do this regularly. We spend time talking about the budget, financial goals. We look at tracking expenses, being able to understand how much money should be allocated to each area. It's never too early to involve the children in day-to-day financial decisions and discussions. Talk about grocery shopping. Talk about paying bills. Hey, here's a list of possible grocery items. Which ones are the best for our family? You know, this exposes our children to real life financial situations. It helps them understand the value of money. We've looked at different things, and even my son's a little older now, he's 16, but when we're looking at cars for him, he was going to pay for half of the vehicle, because that was the deal based on a number of parameters, grades, things like that. Mom and dad would cover half. And that exposed him to a real life financial situation on just what kind of car. So he was a part of the purchase process. And so we ended up with a $9,000 car, and he had saved up $4,500, and we contributed the other $4,500. And that was what we were all willing to spend on the vehicle based on his savings, based on a number of factors. And he was involved. By the way, he did not want to get any cool stuff on the car, because it was just going to be vanity in his eyes. Like, you know what? I got other money to spend. I don't need a carbon fiber spoiler. I don't need new rims. I don't need any of that. I just need to make sure the car gets from point A to point B. Involving the kids are going to help develop those skills. And it's going to be different ways for your children. The important thing is get them involved. Get them as a part of it. Show them the ropes. And then the third step is provide them with resources, with educational opportunities, utilizing what I would consider age-appropriate resources, but books, videos, online tools, teaching financial literacy, lots of great opportunities out there. I'd mentioned Dave Ramsey's on the program before, lots of free resources, and many, many others offer programs designed for children, for teenagers, to learn about money management. Don't let your kids be financially illiterate. It's not going to help at all if you leave them an inheritance and they are not equipped to manage it. Open a savings account, an investment account for your child. Help them understand the concept of earning interest, growing their money over time. Employ them. If you own a business, tax breaks, hello, not the episode for it. I'll talk about that another time. However, put the kids to work, pay them through their savings account. Let them utilize that, not all of it. Let them save some and use some. Awesome opportunity. And then encourage them to take workshops. Again, age-appropriate financial workshops, educational events, focus on promoting their own financial literacy. There's groups around there, around for young people. And then communicate your trust in them. Be their biggest cheerleader. Show patience, reinforce, and impart more and more wisdom. When you enlist and instill these principles early on for a vision and a plan, providing the opportunities for learning and growth, I am convinced that you will be able to empower the next generation with valuable financial knowledge and skills for their future success. Well, my friend, thank you for joining me on this episode of A Call to Leadership. If you've been listening, you've probably heard me talk about our accounting and advisory business. And this show was actually born out of that business, those relationships. I found that entrepreneurs and professionals were missing aspects of their leadership that fed into their bottom line and helped their businesses be successful. So I'm so thankful that I've had all those years in that area to feed into this. And the truth is that so many people still need accounting and advisory help, and they don't know where to go. If you're in that place where you feel, oh my goodness, my tax person or my accountant, I can't find them, or maybe the service wasn't up to my expectations, do not despair. I'll leave how you can find us in the show notes, and one of my team members can do some discovery and help you along your journey. You're not alone, my friend. You always have help. I'm Dr. Nate Sala. Can't wait to see you on the next show of A Call to Leadership.